Okay, here's the audio feedback for lesson four discussion, challenging discussion, probably for many people looking at child abuse. It's a tough subject. Amber and Lisa talked about this being really hard to read, and Lisa talking about thinking about our own kids and people that we know who might have gone through this, or imagining what it would be like to think of our own kids going through this. There's something very special about child abuse. Angela pointed out that the very people that we would go to when we are in pain are often, in this case, in this particular situation, the people who are abusing. So there's just something amiss with the world. Things are not just quite aligned the way they should be. And the way the kids cope with this, that's kind of what we're looking at. Well, we're in the mental health field, we're going to be encountering people who have histories of this. We work with adults, so we're not necessarily always working with the kids or have the opportunity to work. So we're looking at the impact over a long time. And the issues are with trust and with almost this sort of Erikson's theory of trust versus mistrust. The world is simply not a safe place to be. And the way in which children cope with that reflect how they act as adults. So Carrie, for example, pointed out that kids are trying to be good when they're trying to be good to the abuser. And although we do see the opposite sometimes the kids will actually act in ways to bring about the abuse, but they're trying to be good, and they are, so we might see that later in adulthood too, that they just want to please others all the time. There's maybe many people, I think Wendy, Haley, Becky, Michelle, Sean, and Shelby all talked about kids blaming themselves for the abuse. So this can turn into a lifelong pattern of blaming themselves for misfortune, maybe even self-fulfilling that misfortune by placing themselves in dangerous situations. Christine talked about the increase in self-harm. They might become self-abusive and cutting and acting out. And Brittany kind of brings it all together with just basically a sense of worthlessness, like just not belonging in the world. Again, we go back to that original theory from Erikson of trust versus mistrust. When you just don't feel like the world wants you around, it's probably pretty challenging to make things work. Now, the coping mechanisms, however, though all those mechanisms, these negative ones, also have positive things here. We look at, Amber and Wendy and Stephanie all talked about the resilience the children have. It's amazing that they actually can survive these things and sometimes do well. The focus on gaining some level of control over their lives, just that basic, even if it's just in some sort of basic way. Brandy pulled a quote out of the book, I believe, and said, the quote was, "I would do this by unfocusing my eyes." Almost this conscious state of mind, a change of consciousness that the person goes into. And then finally, I think Lisa reflected really an interesting comment from Lisa was, why do we look at this stuff? Why do we look at this underbelly of humanity here? And she kind of puts it succinctly with getting us to the point that we understand the depths of mental illness and how it can impact people and ourselves, how it can impact us when we encounter these things, when we encounter people with really severe abuse histories. I've had some clients who have had severe psychological abuse. And there was one situation where there was a child whose father got into an argument with his brother, and he ended up killing the brother and brought the brother downstairs into the basement and placed the gun in the child's hands and then used that gun to shoot the brother who was already dead, and then told the child that she had killed him. And this was a haunting situation. that plagued her entire life. And even though she was convinced cognitively that she did not kill her uncle, that was not what came across, as she still operated in the world like she did. And I guess you look at these things and it's bewildering. Through the discussion, however, we did have a lot of people talked about David Peltzer. Many of you, I mean, Carrie, Alex, and Haley, Michelle, Stephanie, Sean, Chelsea, Shelby, Brittany, John, you can tell I'm reading these, can't you? They all talked about that you've read these books and they were a huge impact on you. I think there's room in this class for a discussion about adding some of these other classic expressions of triumph over this. We don't just want the negative to keep. If we're going to think about us as bringing hope to people's situations, we want to feed ourselves with hopeful examples, like David Peltzer's story and A Child Called It, and Lost Boy, the second book to that, and then he had the third book, A Man Called Dave. And Stephanie also gave us a couple other ones having to do with multiple personality disorder, which in fact is highly correlated to ritualistic abuse, similar to borderline personality disorder. They're along the same continuum of dissociative disorders, and multiple personality disorder being the most profound of the dissociative disorders, most disabling for sure. And she identified a book called First Person Plural and When Rabbit Howls. I'm familiar with When Rabbit Howls. I believe I read it a long time ago, but right before I recorded this, I ordered it. And I also ordered First Person Plural. I don't think I've ever come across that particular book before. So it's certainly worthy of a discussion to think that maybe we should have a reading list of books that that maybe all of us should encounter as we're venturing into this field, and sort of getting a little inspired by this discussion to put that reading list together as we are developing some changes in the curriculum here. So thank you again for your great discussion, great depth, good sharing, and really I walked away from that discussion really thinking that we have a ton of very knowledgeable, but also very compassionate people in this class. This is a, you get it. You understand the pain that people are in, and that really, really shapes our practice. So that's it for now.